This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Ruff, ruff, to listeners. I don't speak dog, but we are going to hear about today about some special dogs. Here with us are Margaret MacArthur and Kay Harkness, who both have dogs working in the community. So welcome to you both. So Kay, PAWS, spelt P-A-W-S, for reading. What is it?
PAWS for reading in Fielding is set up for children to read stories to a dog to gain confidence in reading. We have the same thing in Palmerston North, which is called Stories Unleashed. Again, it's just children reading stories and cuddling a dog or patting it and gaining confidence in reading.
So how did it come about?
In Palmerston North, I was approached by one of the librarians to set the Stories Unleashed program up. Four libraries in Palmerston and in Ashurst, Fielding waited until they were in their brand new building before setting it up.
All right. So it's been in vogue, well, in Fielding not too often, not too long.
No, probably about 9 months. Palmerston's probably about 2.5-3 years.
All right. And so about 2.5 years ago. And it was initiated by the librarians?
Yes, one of the librarians approached me.
And where is it now? In all libraries?
Yes, all libraries, 5 libraries in the Palmerston area, and, of course, Fielding with their beautiful new library.
Right. So what's your role?
Anne and I, our role is to match people, the humans and the dogs, with that we think are suitable for doing the listening to dogs, listening to children how they read their stories. We need, the dog has to be able to sit still for a while and enjoy children cuddling them or patting them and reading stories. So that's our job, is to sort of try and find the right people for the right job.
Right, and where does it take place?
Each library has an area, usually a quiet area where the children and the dog, or a child rather, and the dog and the human can sit listening to the story. One of the libraries has a teepee, and the child and the dog sit in the teepee while the human sits outside the teepee and can still listen to the story.
All right.
That way the child feels a little bit more
So you're not necessarily sitting right beside them?
Close enough to hear the story and to be able to help if they need help with a word.
So it's you who goes or a librarian or whatever rather than the dog owner, or is it the dog owner?
No, it's the dog owner.
The dog owner
goes,
and
yes.
The child and the dog.
And they sit in a quietish area so there's not too many distractions. And the child then feels more comfortable because they haven't got other kids listening to them or anything. These children are learning to read or gaining confidence in reading out loud even.
All right, so some of them may be just 5-year-olds learning to read right at the beginning, thing. Right, okay. So how many children or dogs at the moment are in the program? Do you have that information? Asking all these curly questions.
There's probably about 12 ladies involved. At the moment, it's all ladies taking their dogs, no men.
Right, and is
children
it just,
varies week to week.
All right. Yeah. So is there just one one dog per child, or is one dog does several not at the same time, obviously, yeah. But...
It's normally one dog per lady and one child.
So, and you haven't got any men who bring their dogs along?
No, not...
There
not
are men in the... in the Canine Friends organisation, but they're not doing the library program currently.
All right. Okay. So you've got about a dozen, did you say, or has it gone in one ear and out the other? You said there's about 12?
Yeah, about 12 and about 12 dogs.
All right. We'll come back to you again later, Kay. Thank you, because we'll talk about to Margaret now, who actually is actively involved in that with your dog. So... how and when and why did you get involved?
I became involved doing the Canine Friends program with my dog Ryder when he was about a year old. He was just super friendly, loved, you know, going up to people and saying hi. So I knew about the Canine Friends program through the local dog training club and decided to have a go. And then, the school holiday library program started up and I took Ryder to those and he thrived with it. And so when chances for joining the Pause for Reading and Fielding came about, I put my hand up.
All right. So... And what kind of dog is Ryder?
He is a mixed breed. He's 5.5 years old. He's a bit of everything. Beardy, Hunterway, Lab, German Shepherd.
Oh, wow.
Yep. But, yeah, just...
generally pretty docile and friendly.
Yeah, and he's just very intelligent, very happy, very gentle, can get overexcited. But sometimes the kids quite enjoy that. They love his tricks and stuff. So,
Right, so how does a session work?
In Fielding where I go, I go in and let the staff know that I'm there, and I go into our designated room, and the room is set up with a table and some chairs for me to sit on, and there's a beanbag for the kids.
All right.
And then the kids all have 15-minute sessions.
Right.
So the first kid will come in, they'll bring their books in, they'll meet Ryder, we do the introductions, and then they will sit down and start reading.
So have they chosen the books or their favourite books or stories or things?
Yeah,
or whatever?
Yeah. So they come in with a book that they've pre-chosen, or a couple of books sometimes, so something that's obviously... they're interested in reading,
yes.
and that is at their level, yeah.
Yeah, so they don't get a doggy story because it's a dog.
Do bring in doggy stories because they are reading to a dog, which is very cute.
Well, they don't want to get one that is going to be wrong for the dog.
No,
so that's cool. So they have 15 minutes to read.
Yes,
so.
15-minute sessions each.
So if they read a book that only takes 7 minutes, they can spend another 8 minutes.
They spend the other 8 minutes cuddling the dog and getting him to do some tricks.
All right. So the children choose the books,
yeah.
and they come in there, and they, as Kay said, sort of slightly separated from the dog, from you as a dog owner.
Yes. So usually they will go sit in the beanbag and I will set Ryder up beside them and then I kind of sit back.
So Ryder knows he's supposed to stay and listen.
He usually just like rolls over and lies beside them and they pat him while they're reading.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and yes, you are present there, but not in a large way. And if it happens to be, well, not in your case. You said you have a little room that's separated, but in the teepee, for example, you wouldn't be able to see you, but know that you're there. So how often does the child come?
Some of them come weekly. Some of them might be monthly. Some of them it might be a one-off.
All right. So and have you noticed anything about the children that have read to Ryder?
I've noticed some of them that have come in, you know, they might come in quite nervous, but by the end of that session, you know, they're just, this dog is so cool, this dog, you know, and they're, you know, so they might have been a little bit nervous about dogs in general coming in, and then, you know, after meeting the dogs and sitting and reading to them, they're just like, their confidence around dogs has come up, and then their reading confidence comes up because, they're more comfortable.
Right.
Yeah, and it's just amazing to see the kids just thriving in that environment.
So you go in for roughly half an hour for the 15-minute session.
About an hour. You can get up to four kids in one session.
Oh, okay.
Session.
Yeah. All right. So you have one after the other. Yeah. Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So it's timetabled, obviously.
Yes.
And I guess, Kay, that's part of your job.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so is there anything else that you'd like to add about having dogs reading to, I mean, having children reading to dogs, or your dog in particular?
I mean, I would encourage parents that have kids that, you know, are nervous or, you know, struggling to read around peers or even to their parents to bring them into the program, you know, book a slot, bring your kid in. And they can sit down with one of our cuddly, fluffy friends and you know, have an enjoyable time learning to read.
So presumably these won't be during school time then?
No,
they
all run after school, I believe.
After school or in the weekends? Okay. And when you say book a slot, how do they do that?
I know that Fielding, it's you contact the library. The library has a booking system there. Kay will be able to tell you about the other libraries.
More,
yeah.
So, oh, that's cool. Mm. So, really enjoyable. And how you did say, but I've forgotten, how old's Ryder?
He's 5 and a half.
Wow. And he's been doing this for about 9 months now.
We have been kind of an on-call person for the Fielding Library at this point in time. But yeah, since it started, we've been an on-call extra hand for when it's needed.
Oh, cool. So thank you, Margaret. And now we'll go back to you, Kay. So pause for reading and Stories Unleashed. I knew there was something to do with leash, but because I hadn't initially, before the program started, realised that it was in Palmerston North as well. So it's just one aspect of your role. So what else are you responsible for?
Kate and Friends does a lot of things. Initially, when it was first set up, we went to rest homes.
All right.
Visited the elderly. We've since gone into hospitals and hospices. We go to universities, UCOLs, anywhere we're asked. We got invited to lawyers' offices one year, just a bit of fun for them, bit of stress relief. What else do we go to?
School holiday programs.
Oh, yeah, school. That's with the library, the school holiday programs.
A lot of events around the Manawatu area, Palmerston North Manawatu area.
Yes, I believe you've just been to the rural games.
Yeah, yes. I'm just trying to think.
Right.
Colleges, so we do about, each college in Palmerston, we do about four times a year. We're always busy.
So you do timetables and that sort of thing. And what about finding more dogs? Are any more dogs required?
We're always on the lookout for new people and new dogs.
So what sort of things, Margaret, I think you, or it might have been you, Kay, that mentioned, what sort of dogs are necessary?
Placid dogs, quiet, that enjoy meeting people, enjoy being patted. They need to be reasonably obedient, that if their owner tells them to sit, they do.
Right.
But they need to be able to handle being around other dogs as well, because when we go to Massey or UCOL or something, we go as a group, and that could be up to a dozen people and dogs. So they need to be good around that sort of thing.
And in loud environments as well.
You know, in and out of all environments. Yeah. I mean, sometimes we're in pokey little libraries that we're all sort of sitting on top of one another, which is fine for us, or we're in big open spaces.
So if a listener's interested, how do they go about finding out about it?
Go to www.caninefriends.org.nz.
Canine Friends, all one word?
Yes.
.org?
.org.nz.
.nz, yep. Okay, and that will...
Takes
is that Palmerston North or Manawatu, or is it...
That's a New Zealand-wide...
New Zealand, right.
Yes. Canine Friends is everywhere in New Zealand. It's about 700-odd members and about 800-odd dogs.
Right. So if you're interested, and then what happens after that? So
they do a justice check, and then they fill in the application. Then it gets sent to the liaison officer of that area, which in Manawatu is either Anne or myself.
Right.
And we do what's called an assessment. We meet them, we have a chat with them, we have a play with their dogs in a way of we sort of make sure that they don't mind us pulling on their ears gently and this sort of thing, offer them a treat to see how nicely they take it. We usually do assessments in a busy, noisy place.
All right.
Just to see how they're going to react with noises.
And have you ever had to turn anybody down?
One lady I did, and her dog tried to eat mine, so I decided it wasn't quite suitable.
No. Was hers a big one or not?
Yes, hers was a bigger dog, and I only have little dogs. So.
I do like to try and refer a lot of the other club members from Fielding Dog Club,
all
who
right.
have passed certain levels of the Canine Good Citizen program, to apply, which helps Anne and Kay out because Canine Good Citizen, they have to have a certain level of all of the stuff that they look for.
And quiet.
So that sort of thing kind of helps them out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So remember, folks, that if you have a dog and you're interested in perhaps helping out, can you specifically say, Kay, that somebody might come along and say, well, I don't want to go into hospitals and hospices and things. Or so there's a difference between reading to children in a library.
Yes, there is. And people, we ask them where they would like to go. That's actually on the application.
Oh, right.
Is what
right.
they would like to do. Some people only want to come to what we call the events, which is more than two or three people going to somewhere.
All right.
Others like to go to rest homes. Others like to do the hospital. It's their choice, and if we do put someone into, a rest home and they decide they don't like it, we'll change them, we'll put them somewhere else.
If they want to, yes.
Not everyone copes well in that sort of situation.
No, because I think perhaps in a particular, in a hospice situation or even in a hospital, sometimes people don't relate to elderly folk if they're going to a rest home.
And,
you know,
there's been the odd person that can't cope with people with dementia.
Right.
You know, so we just make sure they don't go anywhere near them. that's fine.
Well,
it's
yes.
up to the person. Mm-hmm. We don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable and leave. We want them to enjoy their visit because
right.
it's fun going out with your dogs.
Well, not only that, too, also can give you a bad name, so don't go there. You know, she maybe go such and such a place. Or
that's it.
But, that's good because it's all voluntary because presumably there's no cost involved apart from getting to and from the places, which could possibly be a problem with all this petrol stuff that's going on at the moment. So cool. So that's for the dogs. And what about children? So how do you find participants for the children? Is it all from parents or does sometimes a teacher say suggest? Well, I guess it would have to come through the parent eventually. But
it does for reading.
Yes.
Yes. No, it's up to the parent. The libraries, as Margaret said, advertise on Facebook. They have posters up around the libraries and word of mouth. Children go to school and said, I read to a lovely dog last night. Half a dozen other kids want to read to this lovely dog as well.
They go home. I can't have a dog at home, but can I go and read to this dog?
Yeah.
But do you find sometimes that it's not necessary? Like, I mean, there might be fluent readers, for example, so you don't turn any down?
No one gets turned down.
Right.
We do have to restrict occasionally how many pages in the book they can read, depending on the size of the writing.
You don't want to have chapter books sort of thing.
No.
What ages are they?
I've had one or two four-year-olds who can't read, and I've usually said to them, you tell me what's in this happening in the, on the page.
All right.
Which is interesting. Some of them have got great imaginations. Five-year-olds who are just starting out or something, they read a page, you read a page, mm-hmm. gets them going. Each child has a different situation.
Right.
And we just adapt to that.
Yeah.
To whatever level
yeah.
that they're at.
And just to make it fun for them. Yeah, we can make.
I think generally it's all primary school.
Yeah, it's more.
And below, it doesn't really go any higher than that,
no,
does it?
No, it's normally primary school. Yeah. But
no, but I think intermediate and up would be a bit too embarrassed, you know, sort of thing. Or it wouldn't be cool.
Of course not.
No, but
I might like to pat
some
the
of
dog,
them do
yes,
help.
But.
And this is one of the reasons why they try and make it in a more private area so someone can sort of slide in.
Right.
Yeah. Without his mates noticing.
Yeah, I mean, there's no need for embarrassment with it,
no.
Especially when you're reading to a dog.
Yes.
You know, we try and make it fun. Mm. And, of course, we're non-judgmental.
No.
If a child can't work out what a word is, we'll find some way to tell them, even if we pretend the dog's telling them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're happy to help out as
yeah.
well
yeah.
if they do need
yeah.
help.
I mean, parents and teachers are a little different. Parents want them to learn, you know, and make them sound out words and that. We try and get them to do it, but sometimes it's just as easy to tell them the word and,
yeah.
and then they
sometimes
happily
I find
go
it's
along.
Easier to say the word and then have them repeat
yeah.
it.
Right.
Yeah.
And other times, and do you just ignore it if they make up a whole lot of nonsense?
Yes.
Yes, she's nodding away.
Yeah.
We just go with the flow.
Yep. It's not about us.
No.
It's about the kid enjoying their time
yeah.
with the dog.
Now, do the children have to be members of the library?
Not as far as I know, until they probably want to start taking books out because they're enjoying it so much.
Right. Okay.
But I would say most that we get are library members because
yeah.
that's where a lot of the advertising is done.
Right. And Margaret, reluctant readers, how do you get over that hurdle? Or does the dog do it for you?
I mean, the dog almost does it for us because,
yeah.
You know, like it's the program and so, you know, they come in kind of expecting to read to a dog. So even if they are kind of reluctant about reading, they sit down and they might not, some of them don't even actually read to the dog. They might just read silently in their head while patting the dog.
All right.
And that's totally fine as well. Like they don't have to read out loud to the dog. It's just, it's comfort for them. So the reluctant readers still get time,
right.
you know, to enjoy the dog in a space.
And what is there an aim for each child? So, or are you just sort of, okay, we've got 15 minutes with the dog to read or
yeah, I mean, the only constraint is yeah, you know, that time frame because obviously if we've got four kids booked for that
yes,
hour slot,
yeah.
we need to get them through. A lot of us don't mind staying a little bit longer where necessary, but yeah, I mean, we don't have expectations on the children. They're coming in to enjoy their time. So
when you see them for the first time, you have no idea what their ability is?
No.
Right, okay. And you said before that they bring their own books, so I guess when you look at a book, you'd know.
Yeah.
Because it might be a book that's difficult for the child.
Absolutely surprise you with the level of books that they're reading at.
Right.
And yeah, like, you know, I encourage them and
right.
I praise their reading at the end of a session, but yeah, it's always about the child with the dog.
Right. And do you find any differences between boys and girls?
Not really, no. No.
So they're much of a same.
Yeah,
so
they're all just as interactive with the dog. They're all reading it, you know.
I think if we actually did the numbers would probably have more girls than boys come, but boys do come.
So
yes, because
with that one, I've actually found more boys in fielding attend than girls. The times that I've been, I've had a lot more boys than girls.
Good. Yeah, no, that's interesting because generally it's the boys who are reluctant readers.
Yeah. No, so, I get a lot more, and they are super interactive with it. Yeah.
You know, mostly here in Palmerston, it is girls.
Mm. Right.
There's the odd boy. Quite a few boys, but I wouldn't say as many. I must sit down and do the numbers one day.
So have you had many that have sort of been not wanting to come, but the parents have pushed them?
You get the odd one, and that's where you really try and make it fun for them, to encourage them. Even if they only read a few pages and get to play with the dog.
Yeah, so that's likely to be just a once only. But then again, you might turn them around and then they're like, oh, can I come again?
I think I've only encountered a situation like that once when I've been helping out with the program, and it was more that the child was scared of dogs.
Yeah. Oh, right. That would make a big difference.
Forced into it with the mother, but the mother was in the room with the child at the same time. And, that was probably the only time I've ever had it.
So, so what eventuated with that? The child came back eventually?
I mean, I don't know if the child came back, but the child walked out of that session hugging Ryder and not wanting to leave Ryder and kept coming back for an extra cuddle before they left. Went from not quite sure about a dog to,
well, at least there was
this
success
is my best
that,
friend. Absolutely. So, you know, even if we didn't get reading done that day, you know, we had a success.
So you don't necessarily, if a child comes for several sessions, that may not necessarily be with you and Ryder.
No, not necessarily. There's a few of us, I believe, that are currently kind of cycling through the fielding library.
All right.
Is
there any successes or anything else that stands out for you?
I mean, all the children that I've encountered have been amazing with their reading, and they've you know, if they've been stuck on a word, they've tried so hard, and I mean, all of them are standouts.
Well, at least you haven't got the dog getting up at the end of the session saying, oh, that was a waste of time.
No,
he's trying to follow them out for more cuddles.
Right, and we're almost out of time, so Kay, have you anything else to add?
No, just bring your children to read to dogs.
And either go to caninefriends.org.nz, or you could ask at your local library, whichever it is, because all the Palmerston North ones are involved and can help, as can the Fielding Hub Library. Cool. Well, thank you both very much. It's been most informative. So thank you.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.